for leading us into communion. And good morning and welcome to Stutzensville Chapel. I'm Keith Newberry, one of the elders, and the last time I spoke to you, my topic was All In for Jesus. Today we're back in the Gospel of Mark, finishing up chapter 11. And the title of today's study or a message is, Where Does the Authority of Jesus Come From? As we've worked through the Gospel of Mark, there's a theme that shows up over and over. From the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus, there have been two groups of people. There's one group of people that accept Jesus, recognize Jesus as the one with authority, and more importantly, submit to him. However, there's another group of people who question Jesus' authority, reject him, and want to silence him. So, of course, the question of authority in Jesus is one that each one of us must consider. Is Jesus the one he claimed to be? And should we submit to him? And most importantly, should we surrender to Jesus? Please join me this morning with the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you giving thanks for the beautiful fall weather, your wonderful painting of the landscape, the trees, the wonderful colors, for those of us who stayed up late at night to see your painting of the sky through the northern lights. We also give thanks for the safe would-be, but more importantly, as we serve and help others in our congregation. And just ask that you continue to bless those, and also give thanks for the wonderful time of fellowship that we had yesterday. We ask your calm on this troubled nation, this troubled world, this troubled state. And remembering those who have the courage to stand up for your word, we ask that love overtake hate and lawlessness against all who express religion. Please comfort the hearts of those who have recently lost loved ones. Also, please give all of us ears willing to hear, and more importantly, to be challenged by your teachings and to understand the true authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in my study, it takes me quite a bit to put this together. In my study of Mark 11, it's like, hey, I can get through verses 27 through 33. It's not very many verses, but it sure compels you to really study more and think. So I was touched. Jesus was confronted by a group of men in the temple who rejected him. They rejected his authority, and they also came in an effort to discredit him. While on the surface, when you look at these scriptures, their questions may seem genuine, but their motives are far from pure. Of course, Jesus knows their hearts, and in the end, he proves his own authority and exposes them for their inconsistencies and lack of sincerity. As we consider this interaction between Jesus and the Jewish leaders of the day, we should not miss the opportunity to examine our own hearts and our own thoughts about the authority of Jesus. In my studies, You know, I'm pretty critical myself, but you know, I studied, and it's how willing and how fully do I submit to him? Are there ways in which I or we try to ignore his authority and sometimes rationalize why we shouldn't have to submit to him? I pondered about that a lot. If we truly believe who Jesus says he is, then there shouldn't be any part of our lives that we want to withhold back. We should be a people who love and gladly submit to Jesus' full authority. So let's get into the Word of God. Could you switch to the next slide? I know it's hard to read, at least for me here. That's why I have my glasses on. Verse 27, they arrived again in Jerusalem. And while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you the authority to do this?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, this is the question. Was it from heaven or of human origin? Tell me," Jesus asked. The church leaders discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we ask of human origin, they feared that the people, for everyone held that John was really a prophet." So what they answered Jesus, this is troubling, and we'll get to it in a minute. "We do not know." Jesus replied and said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." So let me get back into kind of setting the stage. This was the Monday before Jesus went to the cross. He entered the temple. He overturned all the tables. He disrupted all the merchants and that were defiling the temple. And he made it known to people, that people of God, that they were not living in ways that God intended. It was a pronouncement of judgment, and no doubt an event that would not soon be forgotten. And this was on the very next day. Jesus returns to the temple. And on this day, a group of Jewish leaders approached Jesus with an important question, the question of authority. So, in our walks, have we ever questioned people in authority or had to challenge somebody in authority? I have. Maybe it's as simple as a child asking, "Who put you in charge?" Think about that. Who put you in charge? Or maybe at work somebody questions, "Well, you didn't go to school for that. What are your qualifications to have authority over me?" Authority is a powerful thing. It's not something we just take for granted. What I learned in my studies this week, authority must be recognized. Think about that. Authority must be recognized. In today's passage, Jesus is confronted by the religious leaders of his day asking a loaded question. By what authority are you doing these things? They weren't just curious. They were challenging Jesus. They were rejecting Jesus' right to teach, to heal, to cast out demons, and especially to cleanse the temple, which he had done just prior. So today we look deeply at these questions. Where does the authority of Jesus come from? And perhaps more importantly, as we go through our message today, do we recognize and submit to that authority in our own lives? It all started with a confrontation. This is Jesus' setting and the commotion he created in the temple. And it was no surprise to the religious leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders that they're confronting him. Together, these three groups of leaders in the church represent the Sanhedrin, or the Jewish ruling council. They thought they were the ones with the official authority in the temple. So when they asked Jesus, "By what authority do you do these things?" they are not genuinely curious. What they're really meaning to say is, who do you think you are coming in our temple like that? Who gave you the right to teach here? And why do you think that you own this place? You're coming in here, you think you own this place. Here's the irony in this message. Jesus does own this place. Jesus isn't not just another rabbi. Jesus is God in the flesh, walking into his own temple. And as I studied this, who are the very people that should have recognized Jesus' authority? The very people, the leaders of the church, were the ones who were rejecting it. So let's pause and ask ourselves, are there times in our lives where we challenge Jesus' authority? Do we ever say, Jesus, I'll give you Sunday mornings, maybe prayer time during the week, but not my relationships? Do we say to Jesus, I'll obey in most areas, but not in my finances? How about this one? I believe in you, Jesus, but I still want control. Is that surrendering to Jesus? Is that submitting to Jesus? And just like the religious leaders, I can sometimes resist the very authority of Jesus that came to save us. So in my study, it's like, well, why did Jesus answer with a question? Why didn't Jesus just tell them directly, put them in their place? Jesus didn't answer directly. Instead, he responds with a question of his own, and one that reveals their true hearts. And he says, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me. So why did Jesus bring up John the Baptist? They're questioning Jesus' authority. Well, because John was a forerunner of Jesus. He called people to repent of their sins and to prepare for the coming Messiah. And John had publicly identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. So the religious leaders were in a trap. If the religious leaders had accepted John's ministry, they would also have to accept Jesus as well. So Jesus brilliantly turns the tables on them. And if the answer John's baptism was from heaven, then Jesus could rightfully say, then why don't you believe me, who John pointed to? However, on contrary, if they said, well, John's baptism was from man, they risked losing the credibility with the very people they were ministering to and preaching to, who knew John was a prophet. So the leaders of the old church were caught in a trap of their own making. Not because Jesus is tricky or using words or questions in a way. Jesus knew their hearts were hard. These men weren't honest. They wonder where Jesus got his authority, but they weren't even willing to consider John. So why would they ever consider Jesus? In today's world, and in this time, their concern wasn't the truth, it was politics. Not obedience to God, but the preservation of power. And we'll get back to that in just a moment. So they responded, we do not know. Church, how tragic is that? The very people who were trained to know the scriptures, the priests, the scribes, and the elders now say, we don't know? Not because they lacked information, it's because they lacked faith. They were willingly blind. They put the blinders on, and Jesus refuses to indulge their unbelief by saying, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. No, not because he can't, but Jesus does not play games with hardened hearts. So in their answer, we see two major reasons why people then and people today are hindered by Christ. The first is the fear of man keeps people from confessing to Christ. How about what will other people think if I give my life to Christ? What will people think of me if I go to church or support a church or proclaiming the word of God? It's a certain issue in today's time, especially in business environments, on social media. If you're a Jesus follower, there may be times where you're going to be ridiculed and persecuted for your faith. The second thing is the loss of power that keeps people from confessing Christ. There are a lot of people who are unwilling to lose power. It's not only in our personal lives, it could be in our spiritual lives, it could be in the church. The religious leaders thought they had authority. John had rebuked the religious leaders, and so did Jesus. But they were not willing to cede their authority to Christ. Instead, they held on to, and how many times in our world, in our lives, do we hold on to some semblance of power that we think we have? And the thought of letting Jesus become the authority and Lord of our lives sometimes can scare you. You know, it scared me. But in reality, it's that personal or self-reliance on personal empowerment that really should scare you. And I think of Scott being a tool for Jesus. Are we ready to hand the reins over to Jesus to lead our lives? So as we move forward, don't fear the loss of power. Others can affect your soul. And personal power cannot get you joy and peace. Instead, let's be honest, declare the lordship and authority of Christ and submit to him. Like I've said before, Jesus does not want to take from you. He wants to bless you abundantly. I think I'm way off. The source of Jesus' authority, where does the authority to come of Jesus come from? Oh, I can get back on point. Okay, I wrote these. Number one is from the Father. John 5:19. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Jesus operates in perfect unity with the Father's will. Number two, by the Spirit. Luke 4:14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Even Jesus' ministry is carried out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Point three, in his divine nature. Matthew 28:18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Not borrowed, not delegated, given by God to God. Jesus is not just another prophet or teacher. Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, and he speaks for eternal authority because he is the eternal Word. Let's go to the next slide. So the application. This is where it gets personal. The question is not where Jesus' authority is. The question is, how do we respond to that authority? Do you submit to Jesus' word? Or do you pick and choose what you want to follow? Is Jesus Lord of your decisions, or just a spiritual consultant you turn to when it's convenient? Do you obey even when it's hard? This authority means that we trust his way is better, even when we don't fully understand. So in conclusion, I just wrote an invitation to trust. Jesus doesn't need our permission to have authority, but in his love, he invites us to trust him, to lay down our pride, our plans, our positions, and to follow him as Lord. Jesus knows our hearts. He knows those who reject his authority and who are trying to sidestep his lordship. But the good news is that he forgives and accepts all that come to him in repentance and faith. Don't let pride stand in your way. Don't let the fear of what others may say or do or think stand in your way. Jesus is Lord, and he is the one with all authority. Submit to him and know that all his ways are good. And Jesus says to us today, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? The authority of Jesus is not a threat. It's a gift to all of us. It is the authority that saves, heals, forgives, and most importantly, transforms. As I tried to wrap this up today, for those of us, for, let me start again as I try to wrap this up. For those of you who may online or be listening to this are not yet believers, we all have a court date when we die. We will all meet the supreme judge of the universe. We will all experience justice and what we deserve, which is going to not such a good place. For we are all sinners that fall short of the glory of God. However, there's a big but. However, thanks to the cross, a perfect loving God who came down to earth in human form and flesh and lived a sinless life, Jesus died for my sins. He died for your sins so that we can live in eternity. At that moment, when we accept Jesus, we can get that sentencing to eternal damnation forgiven and most importantly, erased. Praise God. Jesus is someone who says, no, 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 I know her. She's with me. No, 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 I know him. He is with me. Welcome to eternal life and reconciliation with God. You have this opportunity to make this decision today by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you would like, our church leaders would like to pray for you. And that includes those online. If you want to call the church office, we would be happy to do so. I'm going to paraphrase in my study. I took this from an influential Christian speaker, and it touched me greatly. It really touched me in my study. So the gospel in four words. Jesus took my place. In three words, him for me. In two words, substitutionary atonement. And one word is grace. Amen. Grace you cannot earn. Grace you cannot buy. Grace you can't pay for. It doesn't matter if you're a good person or tried to do things the best you can. What is different about Christianity is that this gift is for all of humanity, regardless of what we have done. By accepting Jesus, your life will be transformed and you'll be born again. Grace is given freely by a God who loves you and wants to spend eternity with you. It is the most important decision we can make in our life. And I step back and say, here I am, Lord. Amen. So closing prayer, please join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. We confess the times that we have resisted your Lordship. Help us not to be like the religious leaders who rejected the truth standing right in front of them. Give us humble hearts to submit to your word, to follow where you lead, and to trust in your power. May Jesus not only be our Savior, but truly our Lord. In his mighty name we pray. Amen.